Title today is Come Up Here. We won't look at all the scriptures that I've got today, but I'm going to read a few of them off to you, and I will point to the ones that we are going to look up, but at the same time, I know Jonathan will put them on the overhead for you. But in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Our God is not a God of accidents. No one is born by an accident. Every person born has a plan and has a purpose for their life. A plan, a purpose ordained by God. Our God is not in the accident business. He is in the eternal life business. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. The world is trying to find out if there's actually life on Mars when we can't even decide if life starts in the womb. Isn't that amazing? We want to get out there. We want to see if there's UFOs, if there's these other people that are out there in the world, and we can't even make the decision that life begins in the womb. And that's the world in which we live in today. I want us to turn to Psalms 139 today, if you have your Bible. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. This is a favorite of mine that we read quite often. But in Psalms 139, if you go down to verse 13, it says, verse 13 of Psalms 139, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. For you formed me in my inward parts, you covered me in my, mother's womb. And then verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise God that you and I are not an accident, created by a God of accidents, but we are created by the God of creation, and we praise Him forevermore. Only a world that has walked away from God believes life has no plan and has no purpose, can be ended without consequences for our actions. There is a belief of nihilism out there, if I'm saying that word right, that there's nothing after death. That once you die, you turn off the light bulb, and that's the end of things. But the Bible does not support that, nor does the Bible teach that. We have the life of Jesus, that He was the first fruit of many, that we know that as He was resurrected, we will be resurrected. He was with His disciples with 40 days after His resurrection. It's an undeniable fact that Jesus was resurrected from the grave, and is an undeniable fact that He died, and He died on the cross for each and every one of us today. And because He died, because He lives, you will die, but you will live forevermore. Amen? Amen. So there is no denying that fact. I don't care what the world says. And what the world wants to promote, we know that they are wrong according to the scriptures, and not only according to the scriptures, by the historical fact of Jesus' death and resurrection. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 today. Galatians 6 and verse 7. The scripture says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever that you sow. And verse 8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In other words, to sow means to invest. A farmer is investing his seed into the soil. Now, we know that prosperity preachers, a lot of them talk about, you know, if you sow, then you're going to reap back 100-fold. But we also know that as we give unto the Lord is going to bless us, the Lord is going to return it, but it's not only in monetary value that the Lord blesses you. So we know that God blesses us in many, many, many ways to the point that we cannot outgive God for His blessings that He is going to bestow upon us because we are investing in kingdom principles, waiting for the goodness of God to bring what? To bring the harvest. Genesis 8:22 says this, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall never cease." So here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, if you sow or invest your life in this world, there will be a harvest. And you will reap that harvest, and it will be one of corruption, is what the scripture says. But it goes on to say, but if we invest our lives in the Spirit, we will harvest eternal life. And praise God for that. I do not want this world and what it has to offer. I've seen what it has to offer. I don't want any more of it. Lord, I want what you have for me. And I'm going to invest in the spiritual life that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you were not born by accident, but with a plan and with a purpose. Now let's carry that even a little further. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts in chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Go over to verse 26. We're going to read verses 26 through 28. So Acts chapter 17, verse 26. In verse 26, it says, "And he has made from one blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him through he is not far from each one of us." This is an amazing statement in verse 26 if you did not catch it. And I'll read that again to you. "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined," listen to the words, "and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." God designed the exact place in the course of mankind that you and I would exist. You're not here by accident. Amen. But God has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. Where you are right now in time is exactly where you're supposed to be. Amen. Now think about that. Appointed for this time in life when you were to be born and where you're at today. Do you believe that today? But why? Why did God put you here at this point in time? Well, verse 27 tells us why. When you look at verse 27 of Acts 17, "so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him through he is not far from each one of us." His purpose was for you to seek God. God's plan and purpose for everyone born is number one, to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and number two, to live your life for him and do what? Tell others about Jesus. That's your plan. That's your purpose. Beyond that, focus on that. Focus on what God has called you to do. God has called me to be in a relationship with my Heavenly Father through my faith in Jesus. That's step one. You enter that. You start growing in Jesus. And when you start growing in Jesus, there's an excitement in your life to tell other people about what Jesus has done in your life. So many people get so caught up, "Well, I just don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I just don't know what he wants me to do." Well, focus on steps one and two, and after that, he'll lead you as the Holy Spirit leads each and every one of us. In verse 27, there's an interesting word that comes up here. In verse 27, it says, "so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him." If I put you in a room, and maybe sometime you've been in a room that is no windows, no doors, and no nothing. And when you flip the light off, it's nothing but total darkness. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And what do you find yourself doing? You're groping. You're groping for that light switch. You're groping for that purpose in life. You're groping for that light switch so you can turn it back on so you can have the lights on. You would be blind groping for the light switch. The Lord wants you to reach out and search for him, to grope him. And that's what it means when it's talking about the word grope. It means for you to reach out to do what? So you might touch the Lord with your life. Touch him, feel him, know him. Saints, let's touch God today. Hallelujah, praise his name that we can touch God. We can touch God. and he can touch us. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Revelation 4 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven." You know, many times we refer to the book of Revelations, we speak of John, and we speak as John as being John the Revelator. John's only the dictator. Jesus Christ is the Revelator. And he's revealing himself as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords to this world that has never seen him in that respect, only seen him as a suffering servant, one that died on the cross for you and I, one that was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But we've never seen him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to come back as a righteous judge to judge this world. John says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, 'Come up here. Come up here.'" It is amazing throughout the scripture how many times it is pointed out who went up to the mountaintop to meet the Lord. And if you want an assignment this week, if you like doing word studies, this week when you're at home, when you don't have anything else to study, you pull out your Bible and begin to search how many times that the Lord was met on the mountaintop. Whether it was the transfiguration or whether it was Moses, he went to the mountaintop. And here in the book of Revelations, the Revelator, the Lord Jesus Christ, tells John, "Come up here. Today you can't come up here from right where you're at." Hallelujah. He says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place.' And immediately," in verse 2, "I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." You can come up here today through the Spirit of the living God. You don't have to be here. You don't have to be there. Wherever that you're at, you're worshiping God. All of a sudden, you get touched by the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus has said to you, "Come up here," and all of a sudden, you're there, right in his presence, in the presence of a holy and righteous God today. Come up here. Touch me. Feel me. Know me. And through the Spirit, you can today. Saints, you come to here today not to see me, not to hear me. You came here today, what? You came here today to see Jesus. You come here today to be touched by his Spirit. You come here today to be moved by his Spirit. Not by the words that I say, but touched by the Spirit of God. When you can walk out of the church service and say, "Boy, I had goosebumps running up and down my arm. I felt the presence of God. He was touching my life." And when he says, "Come up here," you have been there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's saying to you today, "Come up here." You may be in that dark room today, groping through life, trying to find a light switch. And you and I know that there are so many people out there today that need Jesus more than they do anything else. People that are caught up in the lifestyle of this world. They've taken on, they've sowed to this world, and they've reaped the corruption that is given to them from this world. And they're doing it day in and day out, groping through life, not realizing that God has planted them at this point, at this time, in the world in which they live in today, to know Jesus and reach others with his message. Jesus says, "Come up here, lean in on me. I'm here for you." And maybe you're in that position today. You really need to be leaning in on Jesus. "Come up here," he says. "Be in a relationship with me. Draw closer to me. Be surrounded by your Spirit. And I will draw you closer to me to where you can lean in on me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Hallelujah. God is for each and every one of us today. Turn with me to Romans 10 and verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. In Romans 10 and verse 8, he says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, That light switch is near you. Think about it in that respect. What does it say? The light switch is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. All you have to do is flip the switch. Come up here. That's how close it is. In verse 9, he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will what? They will be saved. Maybe that calling is in your life today. It's near you. He just wants you to respond. And what is the response? The response of faith. That I not only believe it here, but I'm going to confess it out here. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Because He says to every one of us, come up here. Come up here. I'm here for you. You don't have to go to a mountaintop. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to a certain place. Wherever you're at, you can come and be near God, and He will be near you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, what a message today that you shared with us, and we praise you for that. Your word is so, so wonderful for each and every one of our lives. We pray today that we believe that almost everyone in our church that is here today, they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That they've responded to that call of accepting Him as Lord and Savior. But maybe there's one today that is not sure. They don't know for sure. And they wouldn't respond to that call. And even though they didn't hear the audible voice of the Lord, they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit today say to their heart, come up here. Come up here. I'm here for you. I am the light switch for your life that you've been looking for. And I pray, Father, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, would there be one by the signifying of the upraised hand, Pastor, I'd like for you to pray with me. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Would there be one today? Would there be one? Father, we are thankful for this day and we are thankful for this service. Father, bring us in contact with somebody this week that we can share just what you have done in our life. That we are here for this ordained time in our life. You put us here for this time, for a purpose, and we know that plan is to know Jesus, and that purpose is to tell others. Bring us in contact with somebody this week that we can share our faith with. Father, we pray for VBS. Going to be a busy week for so many people with choir, VBS, council meeting, men's fellowship breakfast. It's going to be a busy time. Father, we need your leadership, we need your guidance, and we need your direction. And I pray that you had provided this church just like you always do. That Father, you are so awesome and so great. You have blessed us over and abundantly. We today give you all praise, we give you all honor, and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day, everybody.